Do you feel like you're always trying to like compensate or explain yourself, or like people are like, think it's okay to just belittle you for no reason just because of the choice that you make for income on one end and like how you do your job?
It used to be something that I would try to battle with and try to convince people I'm not a terrible person, or I'm more than this decision, or just like see me as human, I beg of you. And then that's exhausting. A lot of people, they have made up their mind and there's nothing I can convince them otherwise, and that's not my responsibility.
It's getting hot in here, so hot, so take off all your clothes.
You're not good at that.
I'm getting so hot, I want to take my clothes off. I can't not sing into this mic. I just feel like a pop star.
You are a pop star.
I'm a pop star, not a rock star.
I'm a pop star, not a doctor.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh, God.
He does say pop star, something about a rock star, but okay, not that, no.
Yeah, Matt. Well, hi. How we doing, Sidifer?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
I just choked on my, like, air.
On my
Excuse
air.
Excuse me. Just hi, how are you okay?
Just choked.
Hi, everybody. We're back in the studio. If you haven't checked out our YouTube, you better go run into it because we added some things to the set.
Oh, I was like, we added something to YouTube?
No, but can people see these? Because I'm going to be pissed if they can't. These little tiny...
Look at our orange candles.
It's classic when you order something on Amazon and it's not quite the size that you thought it was going
to
be.
This happened to both of us too.
Wait, why?
You ordered something. You sent me a photo. You're like, I thought this was so... What was it?
I ordered makeup sponges.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking they were the full size. I'm like, dang, that is a good deal. $6 for like literally four makeup sponges. I'm like, one is $6 at like Target. And so ordered it. I get them. They're literally, you could put makeup on an ant with one of those things. Like they're literally this big. I'm like, what the hell? What do you use them for?
And then
playing makeup?
Like I sent you a photo back because I did the same thing. I got this new coffee machine. It has like a frother thing to it. Oh, and so I got this, you know, what I thought was this big metal frother, you know, with the handle. And
I have one of those.
It was literally the size of like a teacup for like a American Girl doll.
You could have made a really small espresso shot with a little tiny bit of espresso. Or I mean of froth milk.
Oh my God.
I don't know why. Little things are hilarious.
Did you keep it?
I mean, yeah. I don't know what to do with them. I kept them and I tried to use one and think like, oh, it's probably supposed to be this small. Like it's supposed to be this small. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's just tiny. It doesn't make any sense.
But yes, our set is cute, by the way, our new studio set. I think every single time we are going to record, if you're watching, you're going to slowly start to see more things just accumulate. It's going to be so cute.
Things are changing. Things are happening. But we're here and we're live. Episode 110. That's actually kind of insane.
It is.
That we're 110 episodes in.
I don't know. I go back and forth thinking, I feel like we've done way more than 100.
I know.
But then I'm like, wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot. Oh God. It's going to be hard for me to look at you with my eyeball.
Oh yeah.
It's like actually painful. Can we
just update the listeners about the eyeball?
We can. Hold on. You're on my microphone cord.
Oh,
you need to scroll back. There you go. Scroll back there. Okay. Well, okay. So this is going to be my straight cannon moment anyway. So I might as well tell the story.
What's a straight cannon moment?
A straight cannon moment is basically a moment in your life, in your week, and you haven't heard these, you know now, that makes you feel more human. It's a little bit humiliating, maybe. It's real, it's raw, it's all
candid.
The things. It's candid, okay? So that's a straight cannon moment. Hashtag straight cannon moment. For me this week, I was traveling for work. Holy crap, by the way. Between Jordan and I traveling, he traveled a week before I went to California. He was home for 24 hours, and I went to California. I came home for 24 hours. Jordan flew for a week to Arizona. And the same day he got back from Arizona, I flew to New York for work.
Oh my gosh.
So I am like so happy to be on the ground right now. It was so fun, but regardless, I'm exhausted. I lay down. I'm taking a little mini nap. I'm just cuddling because Scotty's being so sweet. He's a sweet little kitty. And he paws at my little string on my hoodie, like on the left side. And if you're a cat owner, you know that they... No, if you're a cat, you understand.
If you're a kitten.
If you're a little kitten, you get it. He swatted at it, and he clawed my eyeball. And I'm like, I wish I was kidding, but I felt him claw my eyeball. And I look in the mirror immediately. My eyeball. And I look in the mirror immediately, and my eye has like this missing chunk.
Okay.
Like, no, I'm serious. It was like this. It was not deep, but you could see that it looks like there's a clear thing on your eye, but it's like moved over and then there's like a gash.
Like it looks like you were wearing a contact that was wrinkled a little.
Yes, wrinkled over when I don't have contact. So I'm like, God, that hurts. And so I left it. I didn't think, I'm like, okay, this is probably not good. So I went under the sink and put water in it, which is probably not a good idea either. Anyway.
Wait, pause. I'm shocked because yeah, you're like, okay, I should probably go somewhere. She texts me right after it happens. I'm like, yeah, like you should probably like, do you want me to come over? Do you need a ride? Like whatever. And then she acted fine and we were on a meeting. Oh my God, I took a screenshot of you.
Why?
I'm going to post it on the Instagram.
Was my one eye closed?
The whole time we're on this Zoom call, she's just sitting there with one eye closed doing her work. And by the end of it, I'm thinking, the fact that you like hopped on that call, like girl.
I know. Well, I went to the doctor. No, I went to the gym after that. Because I wanted to move my body. I was like, okay, but here's the thing.
I don't have, no, I did.
I'm like, ugh. I wore a hat too because I'm like, it's watering too much. But here's the thing. I don't have contacts. I don't have glasses. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know much about eyes. And I'm also like, I'll tell you this. I'm a hypochondriac when I'm something worried. But when it's like something that actually happens, I'm like, oh, I'm probably fine. I'm okay. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, yeah, I know a lot about eyes. And like, I feel like if your eyes scratch, like that's pretty bad. Like you should probably go to an eye doctor to have them like, yeah, use their lenses and like look in there.
I'm going on Monday. So basically I call my parents and my mom's like, are you kidding me? You should have gone to the doctor. Yeah, she was so mad at me. And I'm like, I don't know. It doesn't hurt that bad on a scale of 1 to 10. Like it hurts. It's annoying, but I'm fine. She's just like, just go. So I go to urgent care. Basically, they put orange dye in your eyeball and then they turn all the lights off, which was also kind of weird. I'm like, where did the doctor go? That was weird. He's just like, he didn't warn me.
He just
turned the lights off and he disappeared. And then he turns on this little weird blue light and he's like, look into it, you know, like above me. I'm like, oh, okay. And nightmare. He was like, oh yeah. Okay. All right. He got you good. He got you good. I'm like, oh really? And he goes, yeah, you got 3 corneal scratches across your eye into your pupil. And I was like, oh. All right. And so immediately
that sounds serious.
He turns the light back on and he comes over with this weird little like syringe and he just like shoots saline solution into my eyeball. I was like, oh, I wasn't prepared. Like what the hell? And then he's like, I'm going to get you eye drops and you need to go get them. Not tomorrow, tonight. All right. He goes, it's a 99% chance you're going to get a corneal infection, which I don't even know what that means. Just it's in the cornea of your eye. I know. Yep. But like what would happen? I don't know. Mm-hmm. If you don't go get the eye drops tonight. So he's like, that's okay. Nothing to fool with. And then he walked out of the room and I went and got the drops and now we're here.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad you're okay. And this is so ironic because I also had an eye doctor appointment last week. Yeah. I haven't had one for like a year and my eyes, you guys are so bad. I'm legally half blind. If you don't know, -7 in both eyes.
Holy shit.
If you wear contacts, you know how bad that is.
That's really bad.
And I used to have to get my eyes checked every 6 months because my eyes would change so often. Usually it's every year, but every 6 months my eyes would get worse and worse and worse. So this was my first appointment where my eyes didn't get worse.
Oh, good.
And it had been a year, which means it's slowing down, which means maybe eventually I'll be able to get LASIK. I feel like I'm talking really fast. If you're listening on 1.2 speed, sorry.
Sorry.
But it was funny because I also had this where they, if you go to the eye doctor, you know this, but like you put your chin on like this little rest and they puff air into your eye to check for glaucoma and stuff.
Oh.
And so they say, don't blink. And every time it's literally a whole of air in my eye. And this is me. And I couldn't do it. She took 10 minutes and she was like, okay, we're just going to move on. I'm like, I literally couldn't not blink.
Okay. But also have you ever had someone in your eye?
Yeah. You want to fun. No, you want to blink.
Also Jordan had to.
Well, it's not with her mouth though.
Oh no, I know.
Just.
Thank you for clarifying. This is going to tell if we have glaucoma. Hold on. That vibrated my eardrum. I think my equilibrium's off after that. I will say Jordan was cracking up because I'm like one drop in my eye, one drop only. And he goes, okay. And I lay down flat and I go, one drop. Seriously. I'm not three, one. And
Are you weird about things in your
eyes?
Yes.
And so I'm laying down flat and I have my eyes open. He goes, hold it open. And he's squeezing it. And I'm like, go already. Go squeeze it in. He goes, okay, I'm just trying to be careful. God, he squeezes it in. I'm not kidding. I went,
yeah, it's too much of it's too much suspense.
And he goes, what the hell happened to your head when I just did that? I go, I don't know. It's just a lot. Like,
oh my
it's
God,
your eye.
I feel you. I feel you.
So puffing in the eye. No, thanks.
No. Turns out I do have swollen optic nerves, actually.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say, turns out I have glaucoma. I'm like,
well,
Jesus.
It's actually a sign of developing glaucoma, but I also have really bad nearsightedness, which is also a sign to have a swollen or a symptom of having a swollen optic nerve.
Okay.
So optic we're just nerve. Keeping an eye on it.
We're just that was punny.
What?
Oh,
I didn't even mean to.
We're going to keep an eye on it.
Okay. But my stray cat moment, so dumb, I don't really have one either. I just kind of was sharing shit this week, I guess. But I usually don't really talk about what services I get done necessarily, but the Botox in my TMJ.
How is it?
So you guys, I didn't want to get Botox in my TMJ because I was like, I don't want to lose my jawline because a lot of times you get the Botox in your cheeks or I forget what the muscle's called, that muscle in your jaw. It can slim your face. I'm like, I really don't want my face to be slim. I want my jawline, you know? Mm-hmm. But I've had really bad TMJ since I was probably 15 years old and it's mostly my left side. Like it clicks.
Yeah.
When I open it up. Okay. Probably can't hear it, but, because it's literally already better. So it's not supposed to actually see results for 2 weeks or to a month where it just kind of debulks the muscle in your jaw.
Yeah.
But the craziest thing is when she was injecting it on the muscle that hurts all the time on the left side, it felt so good.
Wait, really?
Yes, because think of acupuncture in your muscles.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God.
Have you ever gotten dry needled?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, but it feels
and
that.
And I was like, oh, my God, keep that needle in there. Give me more. It felt so good. And, I already feel so much less tension. I'm just shocked.
Really?
And every 10 minutes I tell Pat, I'm like, oh, my God, my jaw feels so relaxed. I just can't get over how good it feels.
Pat's probably pretty excited about that one.
I know. I went to, her name's Sarah. You've gone to her too, I think.
Yeah.
But Dr. Sarah in Maple Grove, her Instagram is Sarah_injects. Or it's Sarah.injects. I think it's the dot. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
If you're curious. But
I think I'm going to go with my mom to see her soon.
Yeah. I know. I was literally so excited to share because if you deal with DMJ, I haven't found anything that fixes it. My dad is even an oral surgeon where he's works with jaws.
Yeah.
And he's stretch it. Ice it, do this. I'm like, okay, well, nothing's working. So I got Botox. I wonder what he's going to say about that one.
Well, you know what? Whatever. If it helps, it helps.
Right.
I don't know why I was so afraid of Botox before too. I'm like, why was I scared of it? Not that I need to get it a bunch right now, but I'm just saying
for your
forehead or whatever you're doing or your TMJ or whatever. It's who cares? Make your own decision. I wasn't able to make my own decisions because everyone had so many opinions on it.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh my God.
I literally hate people that are judging people for getting,
she hates you
for getting Botox.
Yeah, I know. Come on, I know.
Come on, bro.
Also, sometimes look internally. Is it your own insecurity?
Yeah,
because mine definitely used to be. I used to be like, I would never get a boob job. Stop.
She's like going to consultations. Let's go.
Or
I would never get Botox, maybe because I don't want to spend the money.
Or don't have the cash.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, can I say a product that I've been using that I would really like to not an ad at all, but I am. Okay, remember when I talked about how my skin was breaking out pre San Diego? Remember this? You remember it, Soph. And I was like, yes. She goes, yes. Yeah.
Yes, I remember.
My skin was breaking out all over my chin and I was getting irritated. Half of that for sure was hormonal stress and diet. I probably wasn't getting enough protein in, I would say. And I think I was eating a little bit more whey style protein than I usually would. My tummy didn't like it. Regardless, here we are. A month and some change later, my skin is basically clear. And I think part of it obviously was fixing my diet. The other part was Paula's Choice BHA.
Why does Paula's Choice sound like some cookies?
Paula's Choice. It sounds like a food, Weight Watchers program. Paula has got me back on track. No, seriously though, Paula's Choice BHA, you put it on a little cotton pad or something. My skin.
Loved it.
And all of a sudden, I realized that all these saved skincare videos on TikTok, which you have to be careful because a lot of it's hocus pocus. There was I found a dermatologist and she was approving or debunking different products. And she was Paula's Choice is one of the number one products in that BHA shit.
I can't get over the name.
Use it. I know. It does sound like Jenny Craig.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Paula's Choice.
Hey.
That's how I want to say it.
There's this company that messaged me today for work and it sounded like that, but it was I think the company is called Follow God. And I was like, oh wow. I don't know. Nothing wrong with that. But bringing it into work, I feel like that's a little bit you're pushing a lot. You know what I mean? Anywho, I'll leave it at that. Regardless.
What choice?
Paula.
Paula's Choice.
Paula's Choice. That's who chose it. Crew, we got a guest for you today.
Yeah, and her name is Eva Lovia.
She goes by Candace now. I believe her former name, or formerly known as stage name, was Eva Lovia. She is amazing. Should I read her bio?
Yeah.
Okay.
You read the first half.
Okay, well, Candace is the type of woman you cannot pigeonhole. In fact, the evolution in her career path has been as a transformation. She is a former adult entertainer, performer, an entrepreneur in the production and Web3 space, and organizer of spiritual retreats centered on psychedelics and wellness.
I don't have it pulled up, so keep
going. Oh, okay. I was like, oh, I thought you were saying cut off.
No.
A mother of two boys, a wife, and the podcast host of Chatting with Candace. And now her mission is to inspire people to expand your curiosity, thinking independently, and not be afraid of our messiness. And I literally highlighted that in her bio once we got her bio, because I was like,
that is
literally Candace. Like, being not afraid of being a little bit messy, not being afraid to admit, like, yeah, when I was, you know, 10 years ago, I made some weird decisions, or like 10 years ago, I made some decisions. I don't regret them because now I got here.
Or yesterday I did this and I fucked up and I was a bitch.
Yep.
Or I shit my pants this morning. Like, that's fucking messy.
Uh-huh. You know what? It was funny because one of my friends was like, I feel like I'm getting a little bit bitchier and I need to like rein it in. And I'm like,
or you're just
we all have been there though. We're like, you have to figure out, okay, am I being straightforward or am I being actually a little bit bitchy and a little catty?
Yeah.
Like in checking yourself a little bit. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, or is she just like more confident in who she is and she just has more opinions now?
True.
So if you want to know the difference between actually being a bitch or being like a candid bitch, we do have an episode that talks all about the difference. So it's called Candid Bitch. So you have to scroll down a little bit
to find it.
So I'm really curious about her time in the adult entertainment industry.
Very much so.
I'm pretty sure she did pornography. I think she's dabbled with OnlyFans. So I'm excited to talk to her about that. But before we even get her on, I want to ask you, because this is a good time to chat about, like, what's your experience with porn? And then I'll chat too, I guess.
I mean, I have like,
or if you know of anyone that has an experience.
Well,
you
know? I knew a girl from high school and she ended up passing away because I've heard from, if you're not the top people in the porn industry, there's a lot of drug use and like sadness, like different like darkness, because you don't get paid the top dollars. Like, you're not the top person. There's a lot of people in the industry. And that was just, you know, that's what I heard. Like, her boyfriend died and then she died. I didn't know her as a good friend, but I definitely knew her. She was my literal partner in the locker bay. Went on to be a porn star. Yeah. Crazy. Kind of crazy. Like, to be like in high school and then looking back and being like, oh my God, that's the direction their life took. So it is like a little bit crazy in my mind to become that. Cause it never crossed my mind, but I'm not judging. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it is a career path that people are choosing. I wonder the repercussions of it, like the aftermath of like trying to like stick up for yourself to be like, I'm not that anymore. I'm this. Mm-hmm. My background in porn, I mean, I thought it was really, really bad when I was dating my ex-boyfriend like a long time ago. I thought that was considered cheating. Do I think that now? No.
Yeah.
Do I watch it very much anymore? No, because I sometimes did when I was just trying to be curious about like sexuality, because I was so shamed. I thought you couldn't even use a vibrator. I thought that was like shameful. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you could masturbate. I thought that was wrong.
Isn't it crazy that we're going to porn though? Like, even when we were younger, to like figure out how it works.
Yeah. Like, or tell us if that's okay, or to feel normal. But I don't use it anymore, because I feel like when I've like watched it, it was distracting in my own sex life, if that makes sense.
And ain't nobody got time for that.
No, I don't got time to go type it on my computer.
I don't even have time to have sex, bro.
Yeah,
so
no.
If I have time to like get horny, I'm going to go have sex.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my opinion on it. But I'm excited to hear from her about that. And then obviously where she is now and all the things. But how about you?
I mean, I've dated someone who talked about his past with addiction with porn. And now he's a Jesus follower.
A born again.
Yeah, he was born again.
Born again version.
So now he doesn't watch it, apparently. And I think they're like, it's hard to say like, is porn bad or good? I think sex working is becoming more common. So I'm curious to hear like maybe a better way to go about it, because I know OnlyFans, like, I love that there's like a paywall behind that and boundaries set. Cause like Pornhub, for example, is just a website that anyone can go on. Like, a 7-year-old boy could go on there and find something really disturbing. You
oh
know?
My God. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other safety.
We can wait to chat with that about her too. I mean, I definitely watched it And it's funny because I would always find like the really like romantic ones.
Yeah, me too.
Like, isn't that funny?
I'm like,
what? And I know there's industries or like websites that are for like women too, that are a little more women focused. It's obviously you have to pay, which is interesting. And I've watched, I also really like the ones with like stepmoms. Like I used to watch a lot of stepmom one.
Oh my
Why?
God.
Ew. It was just like, I loved like the ones that weren't allowed a little bit.
Oh yeah. That's like a thing.
Yeah.
That's
and I
like
didn't watch
naughty.
It. No. Yeah. It was a little
yeah,
naughty.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it a lot. I probably have watched porn a total of like 20 times in my entire life. To
I
be
would probably say
honest.
The same. Yeah. But also I don't know, like, I don't know. I don't need to watch. I don't need to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know how to even say it out loud. I'm like,
I know. I mean, and I understand, like, I've chatted with my boyfriend about this too, and I think he'd be okay with me sharing this, but like, I can kind of get like in the mood and like horny without visuals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can just like think and like, oh, I'm feeling myself. It's like, I feel good. And I feel like I want to like move a little and groove a little and like get freaky.
That's how I
But
am.
Guys need that like visual. So like,
well,
he's like sometimes
two sex types.
Oh yeah,
it's
you're right.
One or the other. It's not necessarily guys and girls, mm-hmm. but they said usually it is.
So that was on episode,
That was Lindsay and her husband.
I thought it was Vanessa.
Or Vanessa. Oh my God, why did I say Lindsay? Oh, that was, well, that's the other sex therapist.
Oh,
but
like
108,
Lindsay.
Episode 108,
oh,
they talk about
yeah.
like the different arousal types.
That was cool.
Yeah,
that
it
was.
Was
so cool.
I had no idea. It makes total sense now.
Uh-huh. Oh, but I'm excited to learn more.
I'm excited to learn more about that. And I'm also just excited to see where she is now and what her thoughts are. Like now, like how did she get into it? How did she get out of it? And does she have to stand up for herself more than often? Or more often than not,
like
now.
Overcompensate for the fact that you were, because I mean, I've listened to a few of her episodes and she seems very intelligent.
Oh my God, she's smart.
So I'm like, I wonder if she feels like she has to overcompensate for certain things. And I'm like, I mean, I hope not because she's beautiful, she's smart, and she has a lot of good things to say. So I'm excited.
We can't wait to talk to her, but without further ado, let's roll.
Woo!
Candace is here and we've had like literally seven technical difficulties, but she's here and she's patient and she's kind and we are ready to talk to Candace. And Candace, without further ado, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being candid, as you literally just saw with our technical errors. But
candid Candace.
To restart you. I know, true. That's cute.
Love it.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please, if you could. An elevator pitch of sorts.
Elevator pitch. Well, first, thank you for having me on. Elevator pitch. I have been in the adult industry for about 12 years, which is super long. I mean, the average life cycle for someone in the industry is like a year. So I am a dinosaur with all things considered. I have a podcast, Chatting with Candace, and that's a few years old. So I took a little hiatus because we just had our second baby and mom brain was very real. I feel like every conversation I wanted to have was just not flowing. So I'm like, I'm just going to leave this for a little bit and I'll come back to it when I'm ready. But yeah, just kind of exploring that space. We're doing a little bit with AI right now. We have a kind of like an influencer agency that's about 2 years old. And we're doing trying to create a way for models to not have to do photo sets anymore. So to create hyper realistic photo sets. And it is fascinating. And we're like so close. And I really think we'll have it before the end of the year.
Wait, that is so cool. I want to hear more about this actually. So,
okay.
Yeah. Give me more details.
Is it basically, can I say what I think it is?
Yeah.
Are you basically, it's an AI that's creating faces of these people, or it could be actually like a full body shot. I'm just so used to AI being faces, so that they don't have to go get headshots and like different, like here's me outside, here's me inside, here's me on a like X, Y, and Z.
So it's kind of limitless. So I don't know if you saw those hot girls that were trending on Twitter and everyone is like, AI is going to replace OnlyFans girls, which is absolutely not. I mean, we're not even close to there yet, even with ChatGPT, but it's essentially, so no matter what kind of creator, what if you're mainstream or adult, so you could do headshots, you can do full body, you could do nudes, all of these things. But being able to teach the machine to recreate someone that already exists, or, which is the craziest part, create someone that doesn't exist. And that's actually a lot easier. So we've already kind of created all of these fake models that we they're just kind of like sitting there right now, and they're just stunning and beautiful and not real people at all. And some of them, I swear to God, if they weren't nude, I could show you right now. But
oh my God,
you would think it was a real person.
Wait,
it is mind blowing.
So it's not a real person. That is, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Right. And then
so they're like really beautiful?
Stunning. And what's really interesting is you hear a lot of people say that AI is like it's racist or that it's it doesn't show women of color that easily. Those that I in our experience, it has been the opposite. So creating someone that has more, I guess, like whether they're a Black woman or an Asian woman, the AI makes them perfect. Like absolutely, like cannot tell it's not a real person. With the white girls, it's been a lot harder. So I don't know what anyone else is using, but for us, like the Black women are coming out like just stunning, like perfect, perfect
Can
creatures.
Can you, in the simplest of terms, to somebody who's like, what, I don't even know what AI is and where is it getting these people? Like, can you just explain it in like a condensed version?
So it's machine learning. So essentially it will scrape different databases, whether it's ones that you input or different like websites and tube sites and things like that, and kind of collect at random different features and then create its first rendition. And usually the first rendition is terrible. Like you'll have 12 fingers and eyes going all sorts of places and you're like, this is not even close. But the more that you kind of teach like, no, not that, this, and I am not a programmer. We have someone who's very talented, but no, not this. And you kind of help the machine learn. Each rendition gets more and more realistic to when you get the final product, it might need one pass through Photoshop and then it looks exactly like a real person. It's fascinating.
I have so many thoughts, but I like don't want to make this a whole episode. I just feel like we could make this an entire topic because part of me is like, I don't know if I like it, to be honest. Like, would it be replacing like real people's jobs?
Well, it's probably both. So yeah, let's say you're a creator and you get really sick for a week, or you just like you're burnt out and you do not want to create content. So you could utilize this kind of feature to create something new, like a new photo set, and make it look like you just went to a tropical vacation. Okay. Or that you're doing something super moody. So you, it actually helps the creator. And then when it comes to, you know, the conversation of replacing hot girls or e-girls, I don't know that that's necessarily true. Like there's definitely a niche for that, right? So people that are already watching anime or hentai or something like that. Yeah. But the people that are following and paying real life women, it's for the connection. So until ChatGPT is like 100% accurate and indistinguishable from a real person, no one's at risk of losing a job.
Wow. I'm looking at pictures right now. It's crazy.
It's just so interesting to me. And also like you clearly are so freaking smart because anybody who dabbles in AI, I'm like, how the heck did you even think of that? How did you get there? But I want to know the in between of like, okay, so, well, I should ask, actually, let me lead with this. Are you still currently in the adult entertainment industry?
So I have an OnlyFans account and I produce my own stuff there. And it's like very vanilla compared to what I used to shoot when I was in the mainstream industry. And then our agency, we do represent mostly adult creators. We have a couple that are mainstream, but it's primarily OnlyFans creators that we have. So in both of those aspects, like I'm involved from on both sides.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So you get to like be a part of the actual like management of the people and like what business they're getting and, you know, different things like that. And then also be on the other side where you are somebody being managed, let's call it, and creating content. That's freaking amazing. What are your thoughts on OnlyFans? Because we haven't had anybody on. Somebody that we want to have on too that is currently using or like producing content with OnlyFans. What is it like being a creator? Because we're not creators at all. Like we don't have it.
I'm gonna be honest. I've thought about OnlyFans numerous times.
Yes.
And my boyfriend was like, I'll do it with you too. But I don't know. I want to hear from you.
So you have to ask your why before you do something like that, because it's forever. And I would say money is the worst reason to do it because that's not guaranteed. And it's like 98% of the creators on OnlyFans do not make more than like $1,000 a month. So that is not worth the social repercussions that kind of follow that decision, whether it's people not talking to you, people harassing you at work, not being able to get jobs, etc. So it's a huge decision. For me, and I have gone through this countless times by myself and with my husband, and I'm like, no matter what, my destiny was to get naked on camera at some point. It was gonna happen. There was just no avoiding that. The stars aligned, and that is just really a part of who I am, and that sexual expression is really crucial to me and like my life energy, my life force.
When did you notice that? Like what age were you like, I think I want to do something like this?
I mean like 5. Crazy young. Not like understanding the gravity, but like I would see someone like Pamela Anderson or Tara Patrick and Carmen Electra, and I wanted whatever it was that they figured out. And obviously at that age, you don't really understand sexuality yet or like what that really means, but you just see this stunning woman that just seems to be in like full command of herself and like her, like just like commanding a room, and there's like no shame and just like this force to be reckoned with. And I'm like, I want to be that. I don't know how I get there. And then obviously as you get older, you understand a little bit more about like the ins and outs of what their careers were. But I was like, how do I do that? More of that.
I love that. Like I get the command piece because I think that we've all looked. I just watched the Pamela Anderson documentary, by the way, just the other day.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. It is
so good. And I respected her before. I respect her more than I ever have, like as a human being, as somebody I look up to like now. So just if you haven't watched it, go watch it. And obviously I know that there, you've been in the industry for 12 years. It's gone up and down and sideways and all over the place. And now you've come in, into this like OnlyFans era and also AI. And like you have your own podcast and you're like just are forced to be reckoned with all the topics that you've talked about. Cause I've listened to like six of your podcasts now and I really, really love them. And you're like, you're a great creator in every aspect and extremely intelligent. But I do want to start with the adult industry because it's so, for people, I mean, I've known somebody that was in it actually. And they're no longer with us, which is horrible. I've heard so many like, yeah, thanks. It's like, yes, it's good on the outside. And then sometimes on the inside, there's things that happen, but I'd love to just like start with how the heck did you get into it? Because you were five and you were feeling sexual and strong. Now
she was sexual and strong,
but like 5 years old. You know what I mean? But you knew, you saw that powerhouse woman. Like how did this all come about?
What was the first steps? Like the first shoot? Yeah.
So I started with webcamming initially because I felt like I had a lot more control over like what I was doing and I wasn't working with anyone else. And I felt like there was a certain amount of anonymity. So if I was like, well, this isn't for me and I made a mistake, it can kind of just like wash clean. Not true for anyone that's thinking that because someone is always recording and posting it. So like nothing is anonymous. And even if you don't show your face, it's very likely that someone will detective and figure it out. But I was doing that for a couple of years and I realized like I do not have the temperament to be a webcam girl. You have to be on all of the time. It's really difficult dealing with very demanding personalities. Like they'll tip you $5 and expect the world out of you. And I'm like, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. So was not for me. And some women are great at it. Like they can brush it off and just work an entire chat room. But that was not for me. And I knew I wanted to do big productions at some point. So when I saw these other women and like doing these parody movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, I want to do that. I want the costumes and the script and the, you know, the CGI, all of that. So I found a site that I liked a lot. It was just women and I thought it was all real. So that was definitely part of the allurement. And then when I get there, I realize like it's not real at all. It's all just made up. But it's these beautiful women in Miami and they're always in these mansions and these cars. And I'm like, that looks amazing. It's like Playboy Mansion and I want to do that. So I reached out to them and I was like, how do I do this? Do I audition? And they're like, no. Like no one serious actually auditions. Please just send us a couple of photos and your ID so we know you're of age. And then we'll go from there. And they liked my pictures. They flew me down the next week to Miami. And my first few years were just girl content. And then eventually like that transition into boy girl was it was like worth it 100%. And I knew I wanted to do that, but it was also expectedly like a lot of trials and tribulations, especially navigating romantic relationships and social relationships. It wasn't easy, but I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. Can we talk about those two different aspects of like, how did you navigate social relationships and just relationships in general with a partner?
So I am lucky in the sense that when I was first getting started, I was with my now husband the whole time. So he was there through every decision and everything was a conversation and not everything was easy, especially when I made that switch. Like we had to figure out what jealousy meant to each of us, what we wanted out of our relationship. Neither of us thought that like you could have anything but monogamy because we didn't know anyone else that was monogamous. So like, wait, there's other couples that make their own rules. Like that was mind blowing to us. And kind of just like figuring out, can we make it through this? Because this is so hard. You have all of your friends and your family telling each other like she's crazy and I can't believe you're supporting this. I can't believe you let her do this. And he's like, I'm not letting her do anything. She's her own person. You know what I mean? So like that narrative that we hear all of the time. So yeah, I mean, with my husband, it was mostly easy definitely a lot of introspection and, like, again, just trying to decide what we wanted out of our relationship. So now we say, like, monogamish, right? Like, no one's acting outside of the relationship, but it's not off the table, and it's not going to, like, ruin our marriage or be this big thing if it does happen. As far as other relationships, it's not anything you can truly navigate because you can't control other people. And for some reason, you and, you know, people will disagree, but when they see someone like me who's, like, so on the outskirts of societal norms in that sense, it kind of challenges their own beliefs and their own lifestyle or their own lack of freedom or their own lack of expression and insecurities. And it sounds so cliche, but it's like people are a mirror. So if someone triggers you in some way and you've never even met them, that has absolutely nothing to do with them and everything to do with you. But no one really wants to do that work because you don't want to question the narrative. It's just like, well, I was told that it's college, husband, kids, monogamy, that's it. Become a mom, it's closed, right? You're not allowed to be sexual and be a mother. So it's the Madonna whore complex. Like, there are so many intrinsic aspects to how we look at women and sexuality and that whole evolution of what it looks like. So if anyone deviates, well, she must be stupid. She must have a drug problem. It must have been a last resort. And then when you find someone that none of those are true, you're like, well, this doesn't make sense. And my brain doesn't want to do the work. So she just must be a bad person.
Wow. I was so captivated by that. I was like, wow.
I know. I need to, like, process it because it's like, I can even think back when think about, like, a less mature you, like, in the opinions you had about people and, like, the opinions about roles. I mean, when I first heard that the person from high school is going into pornography, I'm like, oh my God, what's wrong? Like, did something happen? Like, what does her family think? Like, holy crap. And then I started to respected whatever hustle anybody wants to do because it's not my business. Would I want my sister doing that? No, because I've heard the ins and outs of what it is. And I've seen the hate mail that you get. And I've seen the ways that people push people down in the industry. And you have to, like, fight to climb your way, like, to just validate that you're a human that can have a brain and be sexual all at the same time. So it's like, it's such a, like, a pull and a, or push what is it pull. Called? Push and pull, like, situation. Can I ask about your family and just, like, when you first went in, like, what did they feel, or, like, how did you feel about it? Because that I can assume people are thinking that in their brains. You know what I mean? Like, how?
So some of my family members were super supportive, like, because they just knew that was me. They're like, that makes sense. And same with my friends. They weren't surprised at all. People would be texting some of my best friends from high school, can you believe Candace is blah, blah, blah? And they're like, actually, yes. I always knew yes. She was going to end up somewhere there because we actually know her. And then with some of my family, I mean, my mom did not take it well for a long time, like a long, long, long time. It took, honestly, up until a couple years ago for her to really be supportive of it and not every now and then say something kind of snarky or just off-putting about it. I just knew that there was something there, but that's her own stuff as well. And you can go back and say, well, would you want, if you had a daughter, would you want her to do it? And I would agree with you. No, I wouldn't. But that's not for me to choose, right? Like, I don't own my children, and my job as a parent is to support whoever they're going to be and not tell them who they're going to be. So of course you don't want to think about your kid having sex in general, let alone it being public. So that's kind of a weird question or that people will ask me. Of course not. I don't want to think about my kids having sex ever, even as adults, right? And I think the whole goal as a parent is that each generation is better and better and does better than you. I wouldn't want my kid to, you know, be on an oil rig in the middle of the ocean because that's also dangerous. It has nothing to do with morality. It's just I want them to be in a safe situation that is true to who they are and healthy and, you know, makes them feel fulfilled on some level. So if it ends up being something like this, like an exhibitionist, you know, type of industry.
Yeah, I think everyone deals with, no matter like what you're doing, even the podcast, like opinions of other people. Like when we first started this, we were people had opinions if we were talking about vaginas, if we were talking about anatomy, if we were talking about blowjobs, if we were talking about porn, like there was always opinions. So I think people deal with that on different levels, you know, and I love what you had to say about it is like, you're making your own decision and you know, you can only do your best.
And really. Generationally getting better.
Yeah, generationally.
And also I would consider like how we talk about things getting generationally, wow, I was trying to say that word like seven times fast, better because we're talking about it. And
yeah,
even I told Soph right before we started recording, I should tell you this, Candace, because it's just comedy. We posted a social media or whatever, a social clip. And it was like something about I was saying that I would grind on my bunny, like a big stuffed bunny rabbit, like when I went into my room to like rap music.
When she was like 10 years old.
When I was in like, yeah, little late elementary, I would assume.
Like we all humped our stuffed animals in private, literally, obviously.
Right. And even that, yeah, people were like, you must have father, you know, you have daddy issues, or like, you're disgusting. Like what, like women that talk like this, it's like, who the fuck are you? Honestly, like, who are you? Like, and why do you get to have an opinion on anything that we do or say? I know it's the internet. It's inevitable. Thankfully, mm-hmm, we've come so far and we don't care, but it's just sometimes not funny to see, but it's just like a whoa, like a jaw drop. And I was creeping on your social media, like just earlier last week. And I saw two posts that I have to bring up because I was just like, oh my God. And it was screenshots of, mm-hmm, men commenting on your photo or on, you know, your posts, and just saying horrendous things about like you as a mother because of your past. Like, can we just talk about that? Because there's always going to be some level of hate that people experience. And I just think it's so important to talk about.
I think, yeah, I never comment back and I never do something like take a screenshot and put it out there, because I do think giving it attention kind of makes it like a hydra where more heads just keep popping up. And then one person tries to be more cruel than the last person. But with certain topics, and I'm still trying to navigate it, I don't understand, even with the screen between us, like I don't understand how you lose your humanity for somebody else. And you can disagree, right? That just shows like a lack of intelligence in my part, or on like, you know, from my perspective, because it's like you can't argue like logically why you disagree with me. So then you say something horrible like my kid is going to kill himself, and then it's 10 other people below agreeing or saying how awful I am, and basically that it's already written and it's already going to happen. And I can't imagine saying that to anybody, let alone someone I've never met. You're talking about a kid. So when it comes to that, I'm like absolute mama bear, and I will decapitate you for that online, right? So I'm going to post it. I hope someone sends it to your work or the people that you love, and they know that that's how you speak to people online, mm-hmm, because that's horrendous. I still don't really understand what the goal is of saying that. Like, you think that I'm going to be able to scrub my past clean? Like, what do you want from this? Are you saying, like, have you ever met someone that's committed suicide? Do you know how dark of a place you have to be in and how hopeless you have to be to make that decision? And then how that affects every single person that loved that person. Is that like what you want from my child? Like, you want them to feel that alone and hopeless and lost, that like the only relief is to die? And then you have to say, if you put that out there, I truly believe in karma. Is that going to keep you up at night? And then are you going to be left in this place of hopelessness and loss and feeling like there's no way out? And then what comes from that? So it's just like this really heavy thing. And I was just like, fuck this. I have to put it out there because it's inexcusable. And again, this is all about sex. This is because I'm okay with having sex, that I don't think that my body is shameful, that I don't think sex is shameful. And that makes me a bad person and the right to like lose my kid. It's just insane to me.
So disturbing. Wow. I had to bring it up because, one, somebody likely listening may have a fake account and hates on people, for one. Yep. And two, we get hate mail all the time just for talking about things that are quote unquote shameful to some, you know, usual man out there. Yeah. I mean, some are women, but mm-hmm, it's just crazy to me. And the fact that people bring children into it is just like, imagine if someone, since we don't have kids, like talked about your mom or your sibling, yeah, like, oh, that. I would be,
watch out.
I would be like, okay, let's meet in the corner because, yeah, I am not going to, yeah, do this. You know what I mean? So I just had to talk about it and bring it up because I can't even imagine how much is going on with that.
So I kind of want to talk about porn in general, because we have a lot of listeners that we've had this opinion before, that if their boyfriend watches porn, that it's considered cheating. And I want to hear your take on that. And I feel like I know your answer, but I kind of want to talk about the porn industry in general and like the negatives, the positives, and all that. So do you think watching porn in a relationship is cheating?
No, I do not. And I'm sure that's not surprising. And people will be like, of course, that's how she makes her money. But like, so I would challenge anyone that has like a really strong opinion about this to get the book A Billion Wicked Thoughts. It's a pretty big book, but it's a very easy read. It's written by, I think one of the guys is a neuroscientist. The other one's an engineer and they like a statistician, and they can look at all of the data across all these tube sites. And it's kind of like one of the largest sex studies that has ever been conducted in breaking down behavior as to like why men watch porn. Why do they watch the types of porn? Why do they like the types of women that they do? How women view porn. So it gets into a lot of these stereotypes that we have, which is it's degrading to women, which it's not, because if you watch gay porn, so like guy on guy, it is shot exactly how man on woman is shot, right? It's like it's made for the male gaze. So there's just like certain things that turn them on, and we're not wired the same, and that's okay. I think as women, we want our men to have the exact same sexual interests as we do, but that doesn't make any sense. Then maybe you should be with a woman, because our sexual needs are different. What the book ends up doing is it breaks down, like, women also they watch porn/erotica, but their choice is usually through novels. So through like those sexy books or through movies or romance novels. And they also idealize like that perfect man, whether he's a knight, a vampire, a sailor, right? Like a first responder, whatever it is. Billionaire is one of the biggest categories. So if you're getting mad at your man for watching porn, like you can also... you can't watch your romance movies. You can't watch or like read your erotica, because it's the same thing. And when you come to him and you're like, well, why aren't you slaying a dragon, bringing home $1 billion, you know, giving me a Lamborghini, all of these things. It's the same thing as you're like, well, why when he's like, well, why won't you try this position in bed? Right. You're both trying to compare each other.
Sorry to interrupt, but not even that. Like I remember even being single, watching a really good romantic movie, and like feeling so bad for myself and like, oh, wishing I wasn't single. Or even when you're in a relationship and watching a really good, like realistic romance movie, and you're like, why doesn't my boyfriend do that? Why doesn't he pick me up and open my car door and do things like that? And you're having all these standards and you like literally get mad at your partner because they're not doing the things that they're doing on the screen. So yeah,
that's a good point.
Why aren't you more like Ryan Gosling and picking me up in the rain? Yeah. It's the same thing. So it's not fair either way.
I used to think it was definitely cheating, but this was like high school. Like I didn't know
that in the intro. She was like, I did when I was younger.
When I was younger, not even, I haven't thought that in many years, but you know what I mean? Like when you're younger and I definitely was more insecure. I was in the era of like, you can't do this and you can't do that. And part of it also was that I was in a relationship when I was younger that like, I literally couldn't wear yoga pants, like, because that was like something that was frowned upon. So I feel like I was like told not to be sexualized whatsoever. And so that's kind of why I think I thought so many things about sexuality were bad. And like, you can't, you know, explore your body. It's so bad. I will say I've heard more about women thinking that it's so harmful for them because they're like, look at how those girls are. And they're acting fake orgasms. Like we're learning bad things of like what porn looks like, or sorry, what sex looks like through porn. What would you say to that if someone were to say that? Because I've heard that from listeners before.
Well, I think it's like any kind of entertainment. Do you think that you should be driving like Fast and the Furious down the road? Or do you think that that's strictly for Vin Diesel? You know, you have to be able to separate the two. So like, of course, it's entertainment. It's supposed to be outrageous. Men like the loud moans because it triggers something in their monkey brain that is like, I'm not hurting her. She's enjoying this. Do you know what I mean? It has to be crystal clear, because they're traditionally, like, they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They want to know that they're not inflicting pain, and they get aroused from knowing that we are also being enjoying ourselves. And then to bring it back to like an evolutionary psychology theory, I guess, they would say that in the middle of the night when one set of like bonobos or chimps would start having sex, that the female would start being very vocal and loud. And that was to signal that it was safe to do so. Wow. And then what would happen is other mates within that like family would also start having sex. So then essentially like this primate orgy started to happen because you were signaling it's safe to do it. So there's like all of these theories as to why we're so loud. Wow. But it's, again, it's not to be like, this is how women should be. Again, it's entertainment. And I think the difference is if you have a partner that's demanding certain things, that maybe are crossing your boundaries or out of your comfort zone, then you can express that. And then there is something as being sexually incompatible. And that's also something that we don't want to consider, is maybe like we just aren't a good fit here. So how long do you want to be with someone? A year, 10 years, till death do us part? Well, you both have to get creative in bed. Otherwise, that romance is not going to last. So it's going to involve him doing things for you, you doing things for him, and then meeting in the middle sometimes too. We know men's sex drive is usually significantly higher than women's. I could go weeks without having sex and I would be fine. My husband, not a chance. So if I were like, you can't watch porn or masturbate, well, then me as a wife, I better increase mine a little bit. Otherwise, what are we going to do with that gap?
Got to compromise. That was the next question I was going to ask, is like, how do you navigate that then in a relationship? And you just answered it. So I'm going to bring up another like porn idea and you tell me if it's true or false, but that porn can make a bad society. And that it causes more harm than good.
I think that there's not concrete data either way on that. I think it's still super new, especially like the prevalence and the easy availability of it. I would say if you look at what we do have, it shows that as societies become more liberal, like more liberated, that they become less violent. So with the invention of the internet in the 90s, you saw like an 80% decrease in sexual violence against women. Now, it's not to say because of porn, but it is to show that advance in technology and that new freedom. So you looking at that, obviously, it's not causation, but it is interesting. And if you look at these more sexually repressed countries where women aren't even allowed to show their skin, where pornography is illegal, it's the violence against women is astounding. So you have to just take the data that we have. Do I think that kids should be watching this? Absolutely not. Do I think that it should be free? Absolutely not. So maybe we can look into stuff like regulation and paywalls. But it's not to say that there's going to be this crazy like corruption of society where people aren't getting married or having kids anymore, and then we can't continue on with our civilization. I think that's a huge reach.
Right. I was even thinking about this as you were explaining it, but like comparing it to like having a strict parent where those kids end up kind of going to college and going off the wall and like, you know, alcohol poisoning because they were so
oppressed.
Yeah. So that's an interesting take. Yeah.
You know, I listened even to some of your other podcasts too, and I ask this because I want the answer that you think is porn actually an addiction? Or
no.
do you think it's actually an addiction?
No. And I've talked, and this is, again, like I'm not a doctor, but I have talked to countless neuroscientists. So they specialize in addiction. They literally do fMRIs and are looking at the brain, and it is not, as we define addiction now, it does not fit the mold. Can you say that people have a problem with it? Absolutely. I don't think anyone is arguing that there aren't people that consume too much pornography and then it does have a bad effect with their life and being able to function and their relationships and their job, etc. But so is gambling. So is food for some people. So are we going to say you can't have burgers and milkshakes anymore because some people have food addictions? That's ridiculous. So everyone I've talked to when it comes to their interpretation of, quote, porn addiction, it's more of like a compulsion issue, and like that, you know, the marshmallow test. Did you ever read that book or that study? So it's like you can have one now or two later.
Oh yeah. Yes, yeah. Where they put it in front of the kid.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's just like not being in control of your impulses, essentially, and not like delayed gratification is something that you need to work on. So I would say there's something else happening. It's just manifesting through that outlet. It's showing up in porn. But if you were to get rid of the porn, something else is going to take its place because you're not healing the actual issue. And I think it's very easy for people to blame porn because there is a more moral argument that some people are trying to get to, right? Like they have an agenda, so they're going to try to blame everything on porn because they have, you know, they want everyone to be kind of Puritans and take on like this evangelical ideology. And not all of us agree with that. And that's great for you if that's what you, the values you want in your home, but don't lie about the data to try to convert people.
I completely can see that, especially after listening to your conversations with doctors and different people about like what actually goes on in the brain. I just think that it's used a little bit as an excuse for like poor behavior in a lot of different aspects. And I totally agreed with, there was a doctor you had on, I'm blanking on her name, but I was just like,
Deborah,
that is so, yes. I'm like, that is so true though, that like there, it's used in, as an excuse, and there's other poor behaviors, and it's almost like laziness and impulse that you just like are ignoring and sweeping under the rug. And I mean, there's a lot of things that, and there, I would like to flag that there's instances where porn goes way too far, in my opinion. And there's illegal things that happen. That's not, it's considered porn, but it's illegal. Like it shouldn't be going there regardless in society anywhere. But I agree with what you're saying. You had a good question, didn't you?
Well, no, I just want to say like, I had a different opinions coming into this conversation than what I do now. So like, I appreciate you sharing. And I thought porn was addicted. Yeah. I thought porn was, addictive. And I mean, so that was interesting to hear that take a little bit. So thank you for that. My question is regarding just sex working in general now. Like, I know you do OnlyFans. Do you think sex workers in today's world, do you think they're increasing or it's decreasing? What do you think? Like, what do you predict for the future with sex workers?
Oh, that's so interesting. So I guess, do you consider OnlyFans sex work? Yes. I don't know. I guess you have to say yes.
I think I do. I think it's sex work, but on your own terms, because you're not working for a company, you know, you're not signed to anybody. You're just, it's expression, I guess. I don't know. That's an in between. I would say more yes than no.
Probably. I think I'd agree too. I think if you consider things like OnlyFans, I would have to assume it's gone up. I don't have the data on that, but I would assume it's gone up. I think that there's going to be like a stark like overcorrection in the other way, because I think people kind of made that decision for the wrong reason, or maybe because they had to, you know, try to make money. Obviously, we saw a huge uptick in it during the pandemic because people couldn't go to work. So I think for those people, it's not part of what they want to do. It's more something that they had to do. And that's really unfortunate. But it's unfortunate if you have to show up to any job that you don't like. I think the thing that makes this different is that it's so public. So I think it'll eventually level back out. I think it'll probably remain at like something like 5% of people are involved within that kind of industry.
Oh, wow.
And for those people, I think that they're just like more comfortable on the outskirts. I know that's true for me. I know that I made all of the, again, like it was written in the stars, I was going to get naked. It was something I wanted to do. It's not the case for everybody else. And that's why I think I'm not the biggest fan of being able to just record and just upload something, but I'm also a pretty hardcore libertarian in the sense of I do not want to impede on your choices. And then those are your choices and you have to kind of learn the consequences of those like anyone else. So, I think it's complicated, but I think we'll see a decrease, I think.
What do you think if you were to speak to somebody who's just like, you know what, I'm going to start an OnlyFans, you know, like I hear everybody's making a lot of money in there. Like, what would you say to this person?
I would say that, again, 98% of people that are creating on OnlyFans make $1,000 or less a month. That is not worth you not being able to get any job in the future. And we live in a society where if you were a first responder, and this is a true story. So this woman was like a paramedic, and her coworkers found out she had an OnlyFans account. So someone had brought it to her boss. She got fired. Meanwhile, the man who was consuming her content got to keep his job. How is that fair? And then they said it was because of a morality clause. Well, if it's because of a morality clause, doesn't the dude consuming it, didn't he also break that? So it's still super unfair for women out there who decide to go in there. And then like, heaven forbid you're doing it because you have kids and you have to support them, and that's the outlet you choose, and then you can't get a job after. So like, there's no room for grace after, or there's like no room for evolution. You made one choice at one time and you are forever going to be marked, like branded with a red A, and that's not fair either.
No, it isn't fair. And I want to come back to OnlyFans, but I want to talk about what you're talking about right now really quick. And like, how do you feel after, you know, being in the industry now for 12 years in whatever capacity, you know, like adult entertainment and then now OnlyFans, do you feel like you're always trying to like have to compensate or explain yourself, or like people are like, think it's okay to just belittle you for no reason just because of the choice that you make for income on one end and like how you do your job?
It used to be something that I would try to battle with and try to convince people I'm not a terrible person, or I'm more than this decision, or just like, see me as human, I beg of you. And then that's exhausting. And there's no way. A lot of people, they have made up their mind and there's nothing I can convince them otherwise. And that's not my responsibility. So I think that was a really big evolution in the way that I think and approach like that difficulty. But I look at it as like a really good filtration process. So it's the people that will just immediately write me off or act nasty. I don't want that person around me or my family anyways, because that's not what I value. I don't value cruelty. I don't value judgment. I value you taking in someone based off of your interaction with them, right? Like, so someone can be like, so-and-so is such a bitch. Well, I haven't met them, so I don't have an opinion. I have to wait and see like how I interface with them, because that might be entirely different. So it's like thinking for myself, and if someone else isn't doing that for them, then it's not really a loss to me.
I love that. That's a great mindset. Yeah. So back to the OnlyFans. I want to know what kind of content do you make now, as a mom, and how was that, you know, when you were pregnant, did you have to stop making content or did you continue? Yeah. I just want to hear more about your OnlyFans now, and that's what you use for your, cause you don't do porn anymore. So that's kind of what you're,
is that appropriate? Is it okay to be like, would you prefer adult entertainment?
Adult entertainment.
Porn, oh, like, I don't care.
Know. Okay.
Yeah, I don't care. No. I think if anyone gets hung up on the terminology, then like they shouldn't be making that decision anyways, because it's going to get a lot worse than someone saying porn, I promise. If that's where your bar is for getting upset or offended, like watch out.
You're like, just wait for it.
Yeah, just wait, everybody. Just go through your DMs. Wait till you have a kid and go to school. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So as far as like the evolution of my content, I would feel, again, it's super vanilla. It's a lot of just solo. A lot of people like instructional videos. I think that's probably one of my top sellers, is just kind of telling people how to masturbate. And then honestly, the second close one is like direct interaction. So just live chatting with one-on-one, like typing and then like sending a picture and typing and sending a picture. People fucking eat that up. So it hasn't changed a lot, except for it's just got a lot more tame. And I just noticed, I don't know if this is my fans or in general, is people just want that connection, which is why I say something like ChatGPT is so far off and it's like so far away from replacing people, because they could care less about like a hardcore video or a photo set. Like, they want to talk to me and they want to know it's me. Like, I used to have a horse. So they would ask about my riding lessons. They'd ask about cooking. Like, it's not all sexual, which is what a lot of people think. They just really want connection. And I think that to say that that's wrong, it's like, well, where else do you want this person to get it if they don't have it for whatever reason? Yeah. So there's, I think, a lot of beauty in that side of it. And then, so with my second baby, I started showing so fast. I just immediately got inflated and I did not feel sexy at all.
But that's also so empowering too.
Well, yeah, the first one was. The second one, I was like, it just showed up in the places I didn't want it to, so I definitely avoided making content during that process. My first one, I actually shot pretty much most of my pregnancy. And I know, it's crazy. I struggle with it, because I had so many women coming to me in my DMs that were like, thank you. Like, thank you so much for doing this. You're showing that women are still sexual beings while even during pregnancy, and that the pregnant body is beautiful and that we don't cease to be ourselves. Like, all of these really beautiful DMs. And that was great. But now that's out there. And it's just like one more thing I have to kind of explain. And I feel if I could go back, that's probably one of the few things that I would say I would change, is I wouldn't have shot while I was pregnant.
Do you think that's because for your own like family's privacy, or like just looking ahead and being like, oh my God, they're going to see that and know that that was them in my belly and I was still making content? Is it that piece?
It's like, maybe like that, some things are just made to be more private. And I think for me, that's a personal choice, but I wouldn't have known that unless I did it. You know what I mean? So I did that with my second. And then honestly, with my firstborn, like he was born with an Apgar of 0. So I don't know if you know what that means, but he essentially was like a stillborn. And they had to resuscitate him. He spent a week in the NICU. He was in a hypothermic coma for 3 days. No one could touch him because they had to keep his body cool so that his brain wouldn't like swell and get brain damage. So it was horrible. It was like the hardest thing I've ever gone through. And I like slept at the hospital every single night. And I was like, you know, all of these horrible thoughts go through your head. You're like, this is punishment for my decisions, or like, I didn't value this child enough or whatever. I didn't want this child enough. Like, you make it all about you, because that's what we tend to do as individuals. And going through that, I was like, this is why it's supposed to be private, because now if something happens, it's just out there. And then that's going to be something I have to constantly see and deal with in a public setting. And like, if you grieve, like, you, the way that you want to grieve is up to you. It shouldn't be forced out in the open. So there was like a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so hard.
That is hard. I mean, it does sound like you, you know, it was such a moment of empowering femininity during that too. So it sounds like you did help a few women at the same time, but yeah, I'm sorry that happened about the second child. That's scary. First. Very scary.
Yeah. It's just horrible. Thank you. I want to ask you about your relationship, because just like, I don't know, a minute or two ago, you were talking about how you're connecting with people online. And that's so curious to me, because I am in a monogamous relationship, and there are things that in our relationship that would be considered cheating. And honestly, some of the things I used to consider cheating have like evolved, and now they're not, you know what I mean? Like porn, for instance, and different things like that. But how did you build a relationship that's not monogamous? Because I don't think
Monogamish. Yeah, like, how do you navigate that with your partner?
So I think every relationship is a living, breathing thing. And it's every single day, it's you kind of recommitting to them on whatever level that is. And it doesn't matter if you're monogamous or if you're poly or you have some kind of open relationship, whatever, if the borders are a little bit looser than most people. I think the most important thing is really consciously making that decision and not just going into it by default. I think for most people, monogamy makes sense. And that is, it is a lot of work to be in anything other than that. It's a lot of discomfort. It's a lot of growth that has to happen. Tons of programming that you have to redo if you want to do it. So for most people, it just does not make sense. Like, that's just the way that I look at it. But if you do choose monogamy, I think that you have to go through it and say, well, why? What do I expect? What are the boundaries within this relationship? Because like you said, there are things that you consider cheating that you no longer consider cheating. So why do I consider maybe liking a girl's photo on Instagram cheating? Well, is that where you want the bar to be for your relationship? Is that how fragile you want the relationship to be? Is like, he just has to double click a photo and like, I might lose what might be the love of my life? That seems like a bad idea to me. Is cheating admiring someone in a movie? Like, maybe I'm watching Fight Club and I'm just drooling over Brad Pitt. Is that as fragile as my marriage is going to be? Because that's a problem too. Because if you plan on spending your life with somebody, you're going to get hit with a lot harder things than admiring an actor on a screen. So I think that when we want to pretend that because we're in a monogamous relationship that our partner can no longer recognize or appreciate beauty, that you're asking them to now lie to you. So do you value someone lying to you in a relationship so that your feelings don't get hurt, or do you value honesty? And then if you punish them for something so small, what happens when they do something big and they regret it and they want to repair it with you, but they're like, last time I did something small, she freaked out. He can't trust that he can come to you for grace and forgiveness because you haven't shown him in the past that is the way that you're going to navigate the situation. Is that a real relationship? Like, is that true? Is that honest? Is that integral? Or are you guys both playing house? Do you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Wow. That was amazing. Yeah. It's just, I'm like, whoa. Okay. I just got like heard. Like, yeah, holy crap.
I was like, wow, that's a really good point.
It's a really good point.
Shit. You better implement that.
Oh my God.
It's not to say start swinging. No. You know what I mean? Cause again, not easy, but it's just saying like intentionally set the bar and like have that trusting space for both people.
Regardless if it's monogamous or not. Yeah. Fully.
Right.
Like either or, I think that applies to anything. Can I ask you, like, with the industry that you're in and all the things, is it like, what is considered then for you guys like crossing the line? Because like, where does that threshold stop? And not to be, I'm not trying to be nosy at all, but I'm just trying to show people
she's
that
not
like,
being nosy, it doesn't but, like, need to tell be, us all the details,
not actual examples or anything like that, but just like showing people that there's different bars that you can set and still have a healthy relationship and babies and raise a family.
So I know some people that are married and planning on having children, and they also are in like a monogamous relationship. They only bring other women into the relationship because that's all that either of them wants. Like she's bisexual and, you know, he just likes women. He's not bisexual. So they just bring women, and it's on the table that if she wanted to, she could explore that option with men on her own, but she just doesn't want to. So that is probably an ongoing conversation. How do you feel now? And I'm sure it'll change once they have kids or, you know, are getting closer to that part, that shift in their relationship. For us, I guess the conversation started when I was shooting, and I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I didn't want to be like, I'm going to be on set today, but I expect you to be a good little boy and stay in your room. And I just found that to be so condescending, and it's just not fair. I think that's the quickest way to breed resentment. So yeah. I was like, if I'm doing this, then I have to work on myself too. I have to work on my jealousy because I can't ask you to do it and not do it myself. That's so like, it wasn't like free reign. We had rules. I mean, certain rules are like degrees of separation. It's not to be emotionally intimate. It's purely just for fun physically. So that's one of the other things. Not in our house, like not in my bed. Like everyone, you get to, and this is so shocking to people, you get to make it as custom as you want to make it. Now that we have kids, again, no one's partaking at all. And one of our rules is like our house has to be in order, and our sex and our intimacy has to be at a 10 before we even consider other people, because you don't want to neglect your, you know, your soulmate, your husband, your wife, whatever the case may be. So right now we have a new baby. Everyone's exhausted. Both of our sexual needs are not being met, obviously. So like no one is even thinking of other people. Where I would say that it differentiates from a monogamous couple is that if something were to happen, like I don't value sex so much that I would ruin my family over it. Like if he were to like quote fuck up, and like he knows me, like now is not the time, but he does it anyways, and he trusts that he can come to me, I'm not going to change the locks and say you can see him every other weekend and just implode not only my life but my kid's life because I don't have my jealousy in check. You know what I mean? And it's not to say that I'm excusing that behavior, because if it is him crossing a bounds, we have to heal that. And you have to be honest. Like, is this something I can forgive? Because it's also not fair to say, okay, I forgive you, but then throw it in their face every 6 months, because you also have a responsibility to the relationship and to your family to heal it. And if you don't, then you have to be honest and move on and then do what you need to do there. But you can't just like forever keep dragging someone behind the cart because they made a mistake, because that's not love either.
Wow.
Wow. I love that. That's a really good explanation. And that goes
for more than just like, having sex with someone. Like even if it's you didn't take out the garbage last week, like and keep pulling it back. And I think the more you allow your partner to know that you support them, but at the same time you have the boundaries and that you give them a little freedom, just like the parents, like the strict parents, the less they're going to even want to do that. They respect you. They want to make sure that, you know, they're keeping you happy, making you happy. So I really love that opinion. Actually, that was great.
Well, I have a hard time believing that when I was in my really, really psychotic relationship way back when, like there was reasons I lashed out and there was reasons that he lashed out, because it was so like, attack. And it's like, even when I catch myself in my current relationship, which is monogamous, but like I'm getting a little too jealous, I am self-aware enough now where I can be like, okay, let's take a breath. Let's figure out what I'm insecure about right now. Like, why am I insecure? This person has never done anything to cross a line. And let's try to figure this out real quick and see what's actually going on. And it is so humbling in a way of like, oh my God, I'm the problem right now, actually. Like I'm creating a problem for literally no reason out of insecurity. And it's just, it's a good way to just, the way that you described it is perfect for if you're in a relationship that's monogamous, if you're curious of maybe not monogamy, fully monogamish, which is now a word I'm going to use, and all the things. So I really appreciate that.
Candace.
I have one question for her.
Final question.
Cause we could talk to you for like, I know, forever.
I didn't get to half my questions, but it's fine.
We're like going down my list and I'm like, I don't even have this much that I didn't talk about, but speaking to all of our 20, 30, 40, 50, whatever age men and women that are out there, but mainly our 20-year-olds that are listening into our 30s, what would you tell your younger self, or like anything that you've learned through all the years? It could be about anything at all. I just like to sometimes end with that.
Oh, that's such a big question.
I know. I mean,
honestly, I would say that it's all going to work out. I think that I spent so much of my younger years terrified that I was going to end up alone, end up with the wrong person, not end up in the career that I want, not have XYZ, right? Like, I just so many limitations on the possibilities of my future, and to the point where that anxiety would make me sick or keep me up at night. Like, it was really, really horrible. But just understanding that there's so much power in surrender, and that you have to kind of trust the process. It's not to be like super lazy and just watch Netflix and just manifest because you believe in The Secret or something like that. But it is a certain level of like loosening up on the reins.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Oh,
Candace, thank you for being so candid. Wow. I couldn't say it. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate all that.
I think we have been waiting to talk about this industry and just like all the things about it until it felt right.
We didn't know how.
And we didn't know how. And we didn't want to give it, like, there's no reason to give it hate. It's out there and people hating on it. And sometimes they're secretly using it and watching it and, you know, whatever. And I'm like, we wanted to talk about it in a way that was respectful for the people that are in the industry, respectful for people that need to maybe open their minds up a little bit and all the things. But we just didn't know how or where to start. And you're the
perfect
person.
Thank you.
And I'm sorry we didn't get to, like, I wanted to ask you about motherhood. I wanted to ask you about all the things that you're learning and why you went, like, what's on, did you go back to school, by the way?
No, I finished my BA like a while ago, but yeah, I didn't go back.
But didn't go back. Okay. Well, you are quite scholarly because the way that you speak on like, I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, I need to go read a book right now.
No, I feel like an airhead in this conversation. Not going
to
lie.
Seriously. And you're like, well, I speak to neuroscientists, I'm like, I wouldn't even know what to say to them. They'd probably be like, you're crazy.
No, I would tell myself that too all of the time, but you just have to do it. And then once you realize that they're also just a person, it's way less intimidating.
And weird how if you just read more, you'll be more intelligent. Whoa. It's like, we've heard that from how long ago? And I still am like, I'm not going to read a book. No, just kidding. I do read now. But you guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening, Candace. We so appreciate it. Can you give everybody your handle so they can find you?
Yeah. So yeah, you can go to chattingwithcandace.com and that has all my Candace socials, or just at Candace Horback.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yay. Thank you so much, Candace. We appreciate you so much. You can follow us at Straight Candid Podcast.
I'm at Candid Soph. Wait. Oh my God. I almost said I'm at Candid Soph.
Oh.
You go ahead.
I'm at Candid Sid.
Flip flop. Straight Candid Podcast. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week and we can't wait to talk to you then.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Wait, amazing.
Thank you, Candace.
Thank you.
Great.
You're freaking amazing. But I'm
going to stop recording. I don't know what it is. I'm like not a nervous person, but do you notice I get like a little nervous?
You did get a little nervy with a little guest. I don't know why either.